everybody. Welcome to Yeah, But Still. Joining us today, back again, honestly. I don't know when exactly that was, but the Live from New York episode. Brendan and Corey back in the mix.
Returning champions.
Hello, two-timers.
I mean, you guys both have last names, too, but, you know.
O'Hare and Snarowski.
Corey Snarowski.
Brendan Snarowski.
I knew it was, you know.
This is Branchburg.
It's a real European-sounding last name. I wasn't going to try to pronounce it, you know. I didn't want to screw it up, you know.
Corey Radikowski.
Damn. Somebody Photoshop that, please. Let's see it. I want to see
Corey,
it.
Oh, yeah, Corey's face on Emrata's body.
Or the other way around, you know. It can really go both ways. I'm into it, though.
This is... We were already kind of coming in hot with the riffs off pod.
Oh yeah,
only we had that recorded for you guys.
We are talking before this. Is that audience? Yeah, well, just so you know, a little behind the scenes. Oftentimes, we'll talk to the guest before starting the episode.
Well, I was just mentioning that because I've listened to every single This Is Branchburg, and you've only listened to excerpts. But I was saying the reverse was when we had the blowback guys on talking about the Iraq war, you had listened to every single episode and I had not listened to, I'd listened to like maybe a little bit of the first episode. And I definitely felt like I was thrown into the deep end of the pool. I was a baby with floaties. I'm getting flown into the deep end at the fucking Olympics. Right. And then I'm coming in like, you know, 30 minutes in, I'm like, wait, so what's Iraq?
I mean, the funny thing about that, too, is that you're comparing those two. I haven't heard their comedy podcast about Branchburg that they write. I mean, this is like planned out. We both lived through the Iraq war. I mean, you know, it's real.
Oh, no. I knew enough to maintain.
They didn't make the Iraq war on blowback. They didn't write it.
No, I was
intricately plotted podcast. Yeah.
No, I think I handled it well. Branchburg
is Jack's Iraq War now.
In a way, yeah. Well, I mean, I want to, you know, you guys were on before, but we recorded it in an Airbnb in New York City.
We did.
We talked a lot about that one guy.
We watched Nick DiPaolo special.
Yeah, which is a real New York event. You know, New York style comedy.
Oh yeah, that's what I do as soon as I go to New York. Is I'm like, time to enjoy some New York style comedy, and I don't go to the cellar or anything. I just fire up the Airbnb Roku, put on Nick DiPaolo's special.
You're just at the airport.
Brendan did no shows that weekend. He just flew, got an Airbnb, watched a man scream on stage about how the world is changing faster than he'd like.
Does he have opinions about masks? Do you know this, Brendan?
I'm sure.
I don't know what Nick DiPaolo's mask take is. I can't imagine that he likes them. I know Adam Carolla was really going in.
Oh yeah.
There was a great Adam Carolla tweet where he was like, nowadays, more men wear scarves than eat stew.
It's true. And I think it's because he tweeted that in the summer. We mostly eat stew in the winter.
I saw that summer stew.
What was he talking about? Like, when was stew ever like a touchstone of masculinity? If so, I missed that, you know?
Is that a manly masculine food?
It's a hearty meal, but like I never really have thought of that, you know?
I got the tweet wrong. He said more American males now wear bracelets than eat stew.
That's even weirder.
Yeah.
That's even weirder.
Also,
how many men are wearing bracelets? It's not even talking, like a Livestrong era.
No, he's talking about Livestrong. He's talking about Livestrong.
Yeah,
he just found out about Livestrong bracelets.
He's 20, he's really 20 years late.
Damn.
That's
he's huh? Okay, I guess he's pro mask.
Really?
He's pro mask now. He said mask up, people. Outdoors, on the beach, everywhere if you love your kids.
I think he's making fun of those people.
He's being sarcastic. Yeah. It's being like, what if I was some kind of mask gay lord?
It's very funny to imagine someone loving their family and kids.
Wait, His most recent tweet says George Wallace was right! Exclamation point.
That's Nick DiPaolo?
Isn't that the,
I don't know that
one the, of the most the famous guy from the 60s. Segregationalists?
He was the governor of
George
Alabama
Wallace.
In the 60s.
Yeah.
Oh, he's, boy.
George Wallace is also a comedian.
Oh.
In Las Vegas, yeah. Nevada.
Yeah, he's a famous comedian.
Yes.
In Las Vegas, so, Nevada.
Oh, God. He's, yeah.
Could go either
through,
way.
Let's, I'm going to get off of Nick DiPaolo's Twitter, because it's real, he goes real reactionary. It's real wild.
He's just angry.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Wait. So the replies to this are people aren't sure what to think of it because I forgot about the comedian and there's a lot of people.
I think
are
most
like,
people would refer to that than a famous comedian.
Yeah.
So I think you're okay.
I mean, if you Google George Wallace, the first person coming up is George Wallace with a giant Confederate flag behind him. That's the first person I thought of. But that is very funny to just tweet that like without clarifying and just letting
no
your audience decide if
I
you're
mean,
talking
George
about the segregationist or the
He's
black
still-
comedian.
I will say George Wallace, the comedian, he's still got it.
Oh,
still
yeah.
Very funny.
His Twitter's funny.
Very
yeah, sharp. Think about it, yeah.
His Twitter's literally very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys had him on yet?
We probably could. I think
he
follows us.
I would love to.
I think he follows us.
He's going to talk about the Iraq War.
Oh, yeah. We follow each other. Hell, yeah. I mean, he follows 4,000 people, so it's not special. But
Izzy feed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're all in a great mood.
I'm good.
I'm feeling nice. That new Sufjan album is fucking amazing.
I'm feeling good. Fantastic. Let's start the pod.
Yeah, let's start
let's
it
go.
Out.
Brandon, you're nice and refreshed from Utah?
I'm nice and refreshed. I'm feeling so. I mean, we gotta fucking leave. We all gotta leave LA. I think.
Me and Corey don't leave
LA. There should be like a state mandated order to just leave. Everybody should just like fucking
evacuate.
Get out of here. Yeah, just evacuate Los Angeles tomorrow.
Like Chernobyl.
I'm getting Gavin Newsom on the phone. Like, hey man, I just took a vacation for the first time and saw what stars look like, and I think we gotta evacuate LA.
Gavin Newsom, I think everyone needs to go find themselves if we can just have an evacuation for
please,
30 days.
Governor, please understand that I just touched a tree. And
Yo, that stuff's dope.
It's fucking great, man. Bryanhead, Utah. You went to Zion, Bryce Canyon,
yeah.
All of that. Are you in Corey, are you in Branchburg right now?
Yes, I'm in the real Branchburg.
You're great pivot. Hosts of Branchburg podcast. And are you
Branchburg.
Both from there? Branchburg,
yeah,
New
we
Jersey?
Grew up right near each other. We went to school together, played Little League Baseball together.
And the podcast is entirely
Brendan's
about
dad
here.
Was my coach.
Oh,
not Brendan's, though.
Was he a good coach?
He was a great coach. He was very understanding. When I was younger, my dad and I were playing catch, and I got hit in the eye with the baseball. Because my reflexes weren't too great, and I've been scared of projectiles ever since. So Brendan's dad was one of my first coaches who like was just like very understanding of that.
Oh man.
And just like sort of like walked me through like how to like overcome my fear of the ball, like how to like reimagine it as something different to like overcome. He was very patient. It could
really
have been another man, but
I really want to unpack all of our Little League trauma today.
Oh,
I have no
man.
Little League trauma.
I've got Little League trauma.
Oh, I've got Little League trauma. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you best believe that I came. I
actually have some
here.
Too.
Let me
now
pull up
I think
my
about
notes.
It. Yeah,
it's made me the man I am today.
I mean, because Little League, that was a big part of my identity, I think, at the time. I mean, my AIM username was BW at bat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I was ready to, you know, I was like, yeah, it's, you know, I'm starting early.
And that was
Little
during
League
the Mariners
World Series,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You know, 2011, rather 2001, Seattle Mariners 116 win season. I could
Huge.
Talk about that all fucking day.
Huge.
You know,
check out John Boyce's documentary series
about
the Seattle
it's fantastic.
Mariners.
Absolutely. I also recommend that. But Yeah, back in my little league era, BW at bat on AIM, right? I remember there was my last ever little league game. We were it was like to qualify for the Little League World Series.
Oh wow!
And I was Whoa. Like, all right, like this is my chance. This is my I'm gonna you know become a star. I'm gonna become a baseball star, you know. And I just remember like rounding the base and like just wheezing. I'm not even asthmatic, but I just started like wheezing, and I got out. Yeah, it wasn't even. Yeah, this is actually before that. But yeah,
smoked a cigar
started,
before the game.
Yeah, smoked a
just Babe Ruth.
Tried to be like Babe Ruth. All the adults are booing you as you walk out to the plate.
Oh yeah, no, I was the real bad boy of the team. I was kind of
there was a kid's parent,
David Ortiz,
smoked cigars.
What was that?
There's a kid's parent who would smoke cigars in right field.
Oh yeah,
and the smell would just waft onto the little league field. I remember it just being the best smell in the world. I have very fond memories.
Stogies,
cigar smells awesome. Cigar very smell. Nice smell from far away.
Stogies yeah. were
like,
being
didn't
smoked
even
at
have
ours.
A kid on the team.
Yeah, it was just a man, a man watching.
He's just like he's walking around Stogie. Trying to bet with the parents.
I mean, you oh, know God. There are people that do
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, Brandon, I cut you off there to tell my adult man cigar story.
So no, you started I'm... losing your breath.
No, I don't give a fuck about that story. I want to hear about the cigar man.
That's it. He would sit in right field, smoke cigars all game. Well,
only the kids would see him. Now the adults could.
Existed in our co-consciousness.
It's weird.
Goddamn.
It's weird. Like, I think the baseball coach, Little League coach, should be somebody's dad. In movies, it's often like a random guy. Which is feels strange
That's
to me.
True.
And it's like a punishment.
Like
it's like
mm-hmm, yeah.
the derelict of the town is forced yeah. to
I feel like this man
It's like a reentry program.
It should be they should be accounted for. They should be attached to a kid. If they're just not connected to a kid in any way, it feels super, super strange.
Something's up.
Yeah.
Someone just loves baseball.
Unless it's a school. Like if they're employed by the school, that's one thing. If it's just a guy that kinda like walks up to the field one day, that seems very weird.
Hey, I can do this. All right.
Yeah,
you
need to know the relationship.
But on the flip side, if it's somebody's dad, that's the qualification. And like, you don't even know if the person's good at baseball. You know what I'm saying? It's just like
no,
somebody's
yeah.
dad, like they could suck shit, which is mm-hmm. weird. Because like, imagine if your guitar teacher or something was your friend's dad and he doesn't play the guitar in front of you. He's just like, yeah, do that. Like, put your hands here. And you don't even know if he's teaching you right. Like, the coach could
you I mean I'm ready to fucking end Little League right now. I'm ready to fucking shut it down
because of your incident.
Listen, it's not even about the incident, okay, but you know we've got a bunch of adults running child baseball rings.
Oh my god, this just made me remember that when I was in fourth grade I gave up a game-winning home run to a kid, and his dad was his coach, and he was like screaming at me like right after, like, you suck, and then he had to call me on the like my parents' home phone to apologize.
Oh my
for how
god
he was screaming at me. I haven't thought about that in years.
The kid or my dad?
An awful flashback.
There's a kid on my team whose dad punched another dad because we would sell candy as a fundraiser, and I guess one of the dads didn't pay up to the other dad, so this other dad like roughed him up.
Wait, Brendan, was the dad or the kid yelling at you in your
story? It was the kid's dad.
The kid's dad was
and
saying
the kid,
you suck?
The kid was like this little chubby quiet kid, and his dad was this chubby, loud adult.
Wait, he yelled at you why? Because
I'm sorry, it was like, before I threw the pitch. He was like, this guy sucks. And then I gave up a game-winning home run, proving him correct. But
oh, yeah.
Then he had to call me on my parents' home phone to be like, I'm really sorry about that. I should not have said those things I said.
That's crazy.
What were you like when like an adult apologized to you?
I think I was just like, okay. Yeah. Very like deferential.
Right, sure.
I don't know if that's ever happened to me. An adult apologizing to me as a kid.
I should have really relished in it. That never happens.
My interactions with adults as a kid was always like, I was always really resentful of them because I interacted with so many adults that like every adult is smarter than you. Even if you get to an age where it's like you could plausibly be smarter than the adult, you know, once you become like a teen, but they still have such power over you. And I can remember so many interactions where I was just like, you know, some buffoon was in charge of me, especially like early bosses. Early bosses.
100%.
Yeah.
I know a lot of adults who should have apologized.
Yeah.
And I've got a list.
Yeah, that reminds me of like Boy Scout dads. Like that's like
Boy Scout dads are, bro. I barely remember Boy Scouts, and that's alarming to me. Put it that way. Like you don't want Boy Scout memories like missing in your brain. But there's like years I don't remember Boy Scouts.
Were you in it for a long time?
No, I didn't like get past the second rank in Boy Scouts. I quit because it was hard. Talk about dad mafia.
It's tough.
Dad mafia, like. My dad wasn't involved in the Boy Scouts, and to get merit badges, like they don't tell you how to do it, but if your dad is like one of the Boy Scout leaders, you could just do merit badges in your backyard, and then like he has to see it, and he's like, oh yeah, he did the stuff, but otherwise,
that's a lot of Boy Scouts too.
Oh, it's
a lot of Boy Scouts is like comes down to like how like yeah. Someone's dad just teaching them so much stuff that they are able to just check off anything in advance. That's why a lot of the, like, I know a lot of these kids, they're like, they're just carbon copies of their dad. Like they're all just like kind of quiet and weird where the dads are like, the same adult, but like, yeah, they just like teach them and then they advance on their own. But I think my troop was pretty okay. Like we had, you know, enough like resources to where all the merit badges were pretty accessible to us, but I totally get like some kids did advance like much quicker than others.
Talk about something that you should be required to have a son involved to be a leader. Boy Scouts. I didn't really know whose dad was who, but like there could have been some random guys in the mix in terms of the leaders, but they're all very weird in my Boy Scout troop at least.
Well, that's it. It's like, it's really, I mean, to deduce it down to two types of dads, there are like, I said, like the sort of like weird dads, but like, they're very sweet. Like they're like their kid, like they're good meaning, like caring adults who just want the best for their kid. Or maybe they like,
they want to impart lessons.
Yeah. And on the weekends they like do like Civil War reenactments and stuff and like
dressing as the Confederates.
Revolutionary War reenactments. And then the other dads are just like, just these men who like need to get help because they try to like impart their sense of dominance over like other kids. Like I've had like, I've seen like an adult man like throw a teenager off a cooler because like because he's like, that's my spot. Just, like no relation. And then like a day later, like this was all, we were on a ship, and a day later that same man went out to snorkel and almost drowned and like had to get like pulled back onto the ship. So there's a lot of characters in Boy Scouts.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I have My Boy Scout leaders were like, I mean, I'm Midwest, Chicago suburbs. There was like, they had like
Charlie Kirk.
Oh boy, I forgot about that.
Charlie Kirk's upbringing. Yep.
Bro, I mean, you could think of other people to align me with. You know, you could have picked somebody else. I'm just saying. but that's true. That is true. Also a Chicago suburbs boy.
Nice job, Corey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're all in a database of Eagle Scouts together.
But anyway, my troop leaders had kind of like Jehovah's Witness energy, or just kind of like strange, like, you know, just that a little bit, like your secret Jehovah's Witness, or like maybe belonging to a niche religion, you know? And well, because the Boy Scouts, at least for me, felt like almost like it has some religious influence.
It's totally Christian religious affiliated? Influence. Like you have to like say like my duty to God and whatnot. Like there's a total like an alliance with God. Like, you cannot be an atheist there. Like, one of my buddies was, and he was like outspoken, and like he angered a lot of the parents. Like, yeah.
I mean, the weirdest.
And it's a very Christian.
Bill Maher. Yeah.
I mean, the Boy Scout dads, like, by far the weirdest thing about being one of those dudes is that they all wear the uniforms and the shorts. As a, they do. They wear the same uniforms as the boys, and like
right. Well, they're fighting for your merit badges.
They like to see. I mean, I feel like the vibe they give off is that they enjoy wearing the uniform more than the boys do. Because I fucking hated wearing it. I was embarrassed by wearing the uniform, and like my friends too. We had like untuck it. We'd untuck it.
It was very annoying to require that. Like I remember I definitely defied that aspect. Like I would like even if they're like you have to wear the uniform, I would then wear like bedroom slippers. And they're just like, that's not the correct footwear. It's just like,
oh yeah, you gotta like find small ways
to buck the system,
rebel.
Yeah,
Catholic school. You know, I wasn't tucking my shirt.
Exactly,
untucked. I don't care if God is watching,
and he was. He saw you
and
do
he
it.
He was.
He saw you.
I will say it would be kind of nice as an adult to have to wear a uniform sometimes. I do get why they.
I would like it now.
It is. Excited. Well, it's like wearing a nice suit is very nice to look official.
I would,
in some way.
I would go for like a UPS uniform. Like,
oh yeah, that's basically a Boy
the
Scout
sturdiness.
Uniform.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it is.
But like a Dickies, it would be like honestly, if Dickies made the Boy Scout uniform, it would be a game changer. I'd be a Scout leader.
Carhartt
would be good too.
Oh yeah.
Why don't they do this? Like
Carhartt work in progress.
Carhartt ex.
If we
Boy
had
Scouts.
Overalls in Boy Scouts, I would. Yeah.
Absolutely game.
Not take those off. I'd wear them to school. I'd look like a corduroy there.
Off-white ex-Boy Scouts. The uniform is $1,200.
Boy Scout in big letters on the side.
Yeah. Quotation marks.
Shout out Virgil, of course. Big friend of Corey and Brendan.
Yeah.
Big friend of the
well, I want to hear your Boy Scout memories, but I had something else to point out about the entire system. I'm blanking though. Like I said, most of the things I can't even, here's the thing. And this makes my childhood funnier to recall is that like, I mean, I have really bad ADHD and was not like diagnosed or treated. I mean, my teachers were telling me like multiple times growing up, like, hey, your son has ADHD. You need to get him on medicine. They're like, no, he doesn't. Like, shut up. Until I was like 16 or something. But so most of my childhood are like Boy Scouts. I don't know why I was there or what we were doing ever. Like I was always like kind of like in my own fog. And then like my mom would be like, oh, you need to go here. And like all of a sudden I would be at the Boy Scout meeting and not know what they're talking about. And I'm like not listening. And then next thing you know, we're like saying some weird like Native American chant and I don't know what's going on. So like I never knew the plot.
We're all just digging holes and like
I never knew the plot. And it's like you have to do all sorts of weird stuff in there.
Yeah.
And like learn songs and just like I never knew the merit badge process. It was all so confusing because I never like my mom would just drop me off, like tell me to put the clothes on and then like send me in there, and I think just to get rid of me, you know?
I mean didn't they like go bankrupt? Because
yeah, they
too
did.
Much pedophilia.
Yeah.
Yes, I think. Yeah. Yeah. They made a big. I got the email explaining why they went to bankruptcy. they emailed me saying like, hey, we're going bankrupt.
They emailed you like, hey, we're broke because we molested too many kids.
There's too much. They explained something about like how being declaring bankruptcy will be better. To I guess arbitrate things or like basically to help the victims. I do not know the details.
Girl Scouts are still going strong.
Girl Scouts are still going strong.
Girl Scouts stay winning.
That's true. Well, they have the cookies. They're making income.
They've got the
that's
they've
the
got
thing.
The cookies. What it?
Yeah, we sold popcorn.
Nobody
what the
wants
hell?
The
like
popcorn.
We had to go door to door selling popcorn, just like.
You should have interrupted movies.
Not even
like a baseball beer salesman.
Yeah. Not even popcorn that you could have then. It was popcorn that you get in like 2 months. Remember, you'd have to go out early and be like,
it's like after you make an investment now, and then 2 years later, you get like a bag of microwavable popcorn.
Orville Redenbacher.
Or it was the three. It was the three divider like Christmas popcorn thing.
Oh, the caramel.
Good. I remember being pretty good, but it was like delivered. It was a weird premise, you know? I didn't have a pitch for it. They made me, once again, they made me do that. It's one of those things where, like, all of a sudden I'm out selling popcorn and I'm like, wait, what? Why?
Is it,
what are we doing?
Isn't that one of those situations where, like, your dad just ends up buying all of the popcorn?
Not mine, but yeah, a lot of kids are doing that.
But that's what happens to a lot of the top sellers is their dad is part of a business that they influence in and then get like all of their subordinates to like buy popcorn for them. So this kid makes $1,000 without lifting a finger. Meanwhile, I had to go door to door. I had to talk to different individuals. You don't know how much of the U.S. population of men have tracheotomies. There are like so many guys who like... who answered the door like have the hole in their neck and you're like 6-7 years old and you're just trying to be as polite as possible.
Man speaking out of his throat.
There's
And I've sold and I've sold him a few tins. But yeah, no, there's like there's different systems and if you're not going door to door and putting yourself in active danger, it's bullshit.
Dude, there's two.
I'm sorry. This is my only reactionary take I have is like children need to sell popcorn door to door.
There's two types of dad advantages in Boy Scouts. Well, three. There's so many, but I'll break it down two main ones. What you're describing right now is the white collar Boy Scout advantage. You got a white collar dad who's like a boss.
Yes. Yep.
And he's making his subordinates. The opposite is the blue collar dad advantage. Pinewood Derby, for those who don't know, or the Rain Gutter Regatta. Pinewood Derby is the biggest one. For those who don't know about Boy Scouts, Pinewood Derby, they give you a block of wood and you have to make it into a car. It's a block of wooden wheels. You like carve it. It's a soft wood. You carve it into a car and then you race it down this track against four other or three other scouts, I think. I think it's like a four-man race. And, bro, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was like 8 years old out with like a...
Well, that's mostly a dad project. Like, that is... The kid's like, I want it to kind of look like this, and then the dads are just like, on it, and they just
I had
like,
to make
wanna,
mine,
like,
dude.
Build it on their own. But, like, I think the ones I made on my own were terrible. One kid, I think, like just did painted the block of wood and put it on there.
It's not bad.
And then he like kept losing. Like,
dude, there were kids.
But like, yeah, but that's the thing. But that's exactly my point is like if your dad or some adult supervisor is like not helping you or actively like taking the reins on that project, like you have no standing chance. That's why it's an adult's game.
Well, let me be very clear, though, too. This is... The Pinewood Derby is not intended to be a parent child activity. The scouts are supposed to make it. It's just so many dads do it for them. But I remember like being proud of my car and then showing up and like, dude, you got like the blue collar dads who own like auto shops and like wood shops.
Yes.
And they're like doing aerodynamics testing on the cars and like applying, they're like lubing and putting graphite on the axles and like boring out new holes and just doing all sorts of shit. And they're showing up with like multiple coats of paint. They have like professional car paint on it. And mine looked like dog shit. It was just so rigged, but that's the blue collar.
Kids in the corner of the firehouse, just like asleep.
Oh yeah. 100%. 100%. But, yeah, blue collar dad advantage. You know, it should be called
the white collars they own the popcorn, the blue collars they win the Pinewood Derbies. That's the dichotomy. That's it.
The Rain Gutter Regatta
they
though,
make up our beautiful country.
I did win the Rain Gutter Regatta though at one point.
If you
what's that?
Did you guys not do that? It's boats and like a rain
it
gutter.
Sounds like something that's in New Orleans.
I never did that.
Oh, okay. There's not much you can do to like you like blow on the sail of these like boats. It's like it's similar. Maybe we just did that in Chicago.
You blow on the sail
out in Lake Michigan.
Boats.
It's like you make a little boat and you like race them down these like gutters inside.
Oh, like tiny boats.
Yeah, yeah. You're not building.
I believe
you.
That sounds like a Boy Scout thing. It's just something we didn't do.
Yeah, but man, this is bringing back some memories. I need to stop talking about my scouts. I want to hear about your scouts.
Corey, you got to tell that one story about your DC trip, which is one of my favorite stories ever.
So with in Boy Scouts, like I would a lot of you would assume correctly, it's like camping trips or something like that. But once in a while, we would go to a city to explore, whether it be like Philadelphia or say like New York, and like explore like the UN, or in this particular case, we would go to Washington, D.C. And it seems really fun because you're going kind of far away from New Jersey. But one thing that made the trip kind of taxing was the whole itinerary was going to different memorials and sites where like these veterans are like just standing there pretty solemn and like, you know, or crying. And so it's a really taxing day. And we'd go back to the hostel and just like, you know, cut loose and whatnot. But during the day, during this trip,
drink soda,
absolutely.
Chase each other around.
Well, we shine laser pointers out of the hostel at like people making like drug deals behind like a dumpster or something like that.
As soon as you're alone,
that's our cut loose, and then like hide behind like the beds.
As soon as you're alone, it's immediately the most destructive organization. I don't want to interrupt your story. Well, Brandon, wait, were you ever a part of the Scouts?
I was never part of the Scouts.
Okay, we have a no Scout. Brendan?
I was a Cub Scout for one year, and I did not like it. One time, the only thing I remember is being at the planetarium, and I tripped and fell, and I fell on a nail that was sticking out of a cinder block and like ripped my face off.
Honestly,
that's the only thing I remember.
The audience will not be able to see this. This is a podcast, but I will say that our Zoom chat is ranked. It's sorted in order of Boy Scout rank. Corey, me, Brendan, Brandon. You know?
Wow.
That's correct. The world really so itself out. Anyways, during this trip, there were two outsider kids. And I don't know whether each of them had something that was diagnosable that it would be irresponsible for me to even guess now. But they were kind of, you know, they were kind of loners. And they didn't really fit into the group of kids despite being like, you know, we were all like nerdy and whatnot. But for some reason, these two kids gravitated towards one another. And it was really, really beautiful because, you know, these kids who like kind of were on the outside of things, they finally found each other. And there was like some like, you know, frequency and like understanding between them. And, you know, just like this very cool friendship that was like forming over this trip. So then we go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and we're there for when the guard switches.
Yeah.
It's a very elaborate orchestrated time when, you know, these two Marines like switch posts. And so we're there to watch it, and we're part of a giant group because this is, I guess, a thing that people go to DC to like see. And these two kids who just do not understand the heaviness of what's going on start pushing each other and screaming. And after the ceremony, this old Marine comes up to our scoutmaster, like shaking, like with anger and just like furious, and just saying like, I've lost so many friends while in Vietnam. My son's overseas. How dare you? Blah, blah. Just like really laying into our scoutmaster. And one of the kids finally understood like the weight of what happened and how serious it was. And he is over on the bench, just like, just by himself, just like totally ashamed and sunken. And the other kid, who has not processed what's going on, walks over to his new friend and is like, what's wrong? And the other kid just snaps and screams in front of everyone, you ruined my life! And that was the end of that friendship. That was the end of that beautiful, rare friendship, and they both just went back to their old ways
of having like no friends.
It was so nothing lasts forever.
Oh my god!
Yeah, for 48 hours, we, you know, in our troop, like we had hope for, you know, some sort of, you know, the isolation we'd feel. By
God
seeing
damn.
These kids not feeding in, and now, now we're back to square one. It's, yep, things, you know, they come together and they fall apart.
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah. So
that's I only went to camps. So I didn't like
Boy Scouts is roughly just like those moments of like children screaming, "You ruined my life," to one. Yeah.
Why did they take a bunch of children to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier?
I don't know, man. Like that's the thing too, is like there's so much that like it either like goes over their heads or is just like, yeah, the weight of it's so strong that's like, how can like any kid like seriously internalize like what is happening before them?
They've got to stop. No, they've got to stop doing that in general. I feel like that's so much of childhood is adults introducing concepts before your brain is developed at all.
Oh,
well, that's the thing too. That's also another part of like Boy Scout dads and about like the one half of like men trying to assert their dominance is like all these like really abrasive men like trying to teach children who are not theirs like lessons about knives, like pulling knives in front of them and like teaching them. I was like, I could kill you with this, you know, just like if you don't like if you, you know, like run with a hatchet, like you'll get cut open. Like, you know, just like stuff where it's like it's totally not necessary. I remember any time we had like an archery or say like a rifling merit badge, it was always taught by a guy who had a pistol, and he's said like, if I see that barrel turn any more than 30 degrees towards me, I will have no hesitation to shoot you. Like it's just like different men like telling you ways you could die within the next hour.
If you point that 22 caliber rifle sort of close to me, I'm just gonna
you
unload
know how
this
many boys I've had to shoot to stay alive out here. You will never understand my sacrifice.
I'm gonna shoot
all
him
to defend the merit badge.
Oh my god, dude!
God damn!
We visited Corey's Eagle Scout thing recently. His project. It's still standing in
what is it?
It's very beautiful.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a little like kiosk where people can put up signs like, "Please don't hunt here."
Was this like very beautiful?
Was this for research or was this just to like relive the glory days?
I think it was research, right, Corey?
For us returning to it?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think we're like just trying to find different places to like.
Oh, we were filming something for a video.
You're hanging up podcast posters on your own kiosk to promote it.
Oh man, we should do
really
that.
Should.
That's great.
You know, we just ordered a bunch of lawn signs featuring the podcast logo that we're going to put around Branchburg.
Oh, that's a great idea. I mean, it's also like a chance to flex on your hometown too.
It is.
Yeah.
I work for the township, and none of them know this podcast exists.
Most people
Wait,
are just
you?
Confused by it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wait, so you're involved with the town?
Yeah. Yeah, I broadcast their meetings.
Really?
So, like, I work in the control room, and they're like, are we ready to go? And I'll tell them when they're live and just, like, record.
How long have you been doing that?
Live stream everything. A little over a year.
Okay. Wait, so did you move back to Branchburg from New York and then start doing that?
No, I never lived in New York.
Oh, you were visiting.
I've lived in Branchburg my whole life.
Oh, you were visiting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was visiting. I was coming up to see you guys.
I had no idea. I mean, see, I was, like, I just showed up to New York, like, the night before. Brandon's already there, I think, and you guys were there. I didn't know. I figured you guys were New Yorkers. Brandon, what about you?
I think that's fair.
I live in Brooklyn.
Okay,
I've been here
so you are
years,
in New York.
But I go back to Branchburg like every week to fuck around with Corey.
Fuck around.
Play tag.
Yeah. And do you record the podcast in Branchburg for authenticity?
We record it in Somerville, which is the town one over where we went to high school because our sound guy lives there.
Got it. Okay, I mean, at least
he actually did Boy Scouts with me, and that's how
that's how you know him.
Well, yeah, exactly, and that's how he was actually the new kid for a while, and we're like, "Who the hell is this kid?" And then he turned out to be really cool. But yeah, he reached out to us when we started doing videos, and he's like, "Hey, I love your videos. I love what you guys do. There's too much wind in it. I actually do like music production for like movies. Like, here's my thesis," which is just like he recreated all the sound from like a scene in Inglourious Basterds, like to the T.
That's
sick. Which was like really cool. So like then we put him on as like a sound guy.
Yeah. So we go over to, cause he was living with his parents and his dad was, he was your scoutmaster, right?
No, but he was like an assistant scoutmaster.
So you're just constantly reliving your Boy Scout.
Yeah, I feel bad now too that like your audio producer, his dad was a scoutmaster, and I was over.
He's a good dad. He's
20 minutes ago. I was like, yeah, all those guys are freaks, probably child molesters.
I mean, but like, I don't think he'd disagree with you. Like, I think you're all kind of nerdy in some way. Like, that's not like, I mean, we were all nerdy. Like, you know, like, you're all implicated once you get into it. Like, you know, just by default,
my scout experience with the actual scouts was like darker. Like, mine, and maybe yours was like this, but
mine was pretty nice.
Ours was, like, as soon as the parents would leave us alone in Boy Scouts, mm-hmm. like, some older scout would call you over. It would be like you and like your friends who are, I don't know, how old do you become a Boy Scout? 13?
You get into Boy Scouts at 11.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this makes mm-hmm. more sense. Way more sense. Way more sense.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I was probably, like, 11, and some older scout would call us over and be like, hey, you want to hear a new word? It's a slur. Like, it starts with F. And just, like, tell you, like, some vile words. Do you guys know what cumming is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, like, that's, like... But that's also like being in the woods and like trying to just like having that ultimate freedom. Like the kids who would curse the most were always the kids whose first year it was, because they've never had that before.
Oh yeah,
they've never had that like unsupervised, you know,
freedom.
All of the bad things and I learned were in Boy Scouts, but it was not like I picked up on it. I remember that older scouts would like tell us. Like, one guy was like...
Yeah, some are kind of weird like that.
Yeah, be like, hey, do you know what a hand job is?
And yeah, like, some of them are, no. like, very eager to teach you, like, weird
I think I'm
shit.
Just maybe described getting groomed, maybe, and not knowing. Like, yeah, all could, those guys are asking us if we know what hand jobs are. No, but...
I don't mean to dismiss anything of your experience, but yeah, no, that is like a thing that like happens. Like, yeah, it's not great.
No, but it was all just like swears. And stuff.
Unsupervised adolescence can be a very strange and dark and weird.
It was like where everybody learned to swear mostly.
Yeah, yeah. That's the main takeaway I had. Like, I mean, like the most innocuous, not innocuous, the worst thing that we've had happen was a patrol got kicked. It was my first year, and a patrol got kicked out. One had like a bathing suit magazine. One had like a swimsuit magazine. Like it wasn't like anything
Gap
like
too. Catalog.
Yeah, right. And like, and then after they had that confiscated, another kid like lit his pillow on fire.
So, like, the same kid. He was so mad.
The whole patrol. Yeah, he was so sexy.
Bikinis.
Well, he was so he was so sexually frustrated that he just lit his pillow.
That's hilarious.
What was the mag? Was it just like an SI swimsuit?
I think so.
What
yeah.
a pimp.
Because that
like it was something where like I'm thinking like back in the day I was like oh my god like you know but like now I'm just like what okay well
You're
you know
cool.
like
I had like AOL like parental controls on the family computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the wildest thing I could see was I would type AOL keyword swimsuit, and I could, like, see the SI swimsuit page.
Right.
And, you know, like, that was like, the wildest thing I could see on the computer. I couldn't.
That's really why journalism go. Is dying, man.
I will say.
yeah.
I will
democracy
say,
dies in darkness.
I will say my first year at Boy Scout camp, the adults had to pull me aside. And I think I was talking about like fireworks with a friend, and someone's mom overheard me talking and for some reason assumed that I was saying that I had fireworks at the
oh
camp.
Oh my gosh.
So the two scoutmasters had to pull me aside and say like, we have to search your tent because someone reported that you had explosives and fireworks in your and I was like I have a big family bag of chips
yeah.
like that's it but yeah that was
they heard you talking about fireworks
yeah exactly was, just because oh, I was I, like oh fireworks are cool
the looping back to the bikini magazine I did just remember in fourth grade we lived in like the St. Louis suburbs, And if you went to a St. Louis Rams game, you could they sold this one magazine where it was like the St. Louis Rams cheerleaders. And I would like, I remember one kid went and like he got one and we passed it around for like a month.
Or just like cheerleader, not even like, bikinis.
You want to see cheerleaders wear bikinis? No, they were wearing bikinis.
Okay,
that's what's up then.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
I just remembered a weird thing that's like maybe indicative of my personality, but I parental controls wise, we got the internet late. I don't know how old I was, but we got it way after everybody else. And I set up AOL for my family, and my mom was sitting next to me while I set up AOL for her and made everybody's accounts. And I gave myself parental controls, like, while she watched. I remember thinking about it and being look, I'm going to make it lukewarm, but I just got to be honest here. Like, I'm not going to... I don't know why I did that, but the loophole is that I knew her password, so I would just go on hers. But I, like...
Oh, damn.
I remember, like, it weighing on me heavily in the moment, and I'm like... I think I should give myself teen parental controls. And I like clicked it. She was watching me to see what I would do. Mean,
yeah, it's very self-preservation. Noble.
But I could have definitely just given myself no parental controls.
I remember the internet access that I was given or allotted was first time. I think I was in like third or fourth grade. And I was allowed to use my mom's email to... I messaged my cousin, who's the same age as me, and we just talked. I was like, what are you up to? What did you have for dinner? It's just like, we basically had a pen pal.
Your childhood sounds so pure. I envy this greatly.
Oh, I mean, Corey is an angel.
Yeah. Corey this is like, dude, and even your scout experience sounds pure.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah. Like, well, I feel like I like rarely have ever heard you curse.
That's wonderful.
I curse quite a bit.
Say a curse, Brendan, Corey. Say a curse.
Oh, I'm going to need a suggestion here.
just say ass or something.
Ass. Ass, you had me? Ass.
Oh, this, I said ass. This, I remember this interaction so well in fucking sixth grade. Like, I did not curse as a child. And I curse way too much as an adult, I think. I would love to be less of a vulgarian, mm-hmm. but I do remember in sixth grade, Holy Family Catholic Academy, Honolulu, Hawaii. I remember this one kid, Joseph. Everybody started cursing in sixth grade. I did not. I waited until seventh. I was like, we're still in elementary. I'm holding on to my innocence. I'm not going to curse yet. I'm not going to curse. We're still in sixth grade. I'm waiting for seventh grade.
This is the speech you would give.
I was still like, yeah, I was still a little, you know, on the fence.
Use the PA.
But yeah, sixth grade, this kid came up to me. He was like, dude, Brandon, just say fuck. Say fuck. And like, I remember like looking around and then I just kind of like whispered like, fuck. And he was like, hell yes. Yes. Yeah. Brandon cuss. You know,
and, yeah.
I mean, that definitely. Now I'm thinking about like a lot of that era where like I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I remember one time in sixth grade walking the halls and like I, you know, having like an unwanted thought where I was like, oh, what if God is gay? And I immediately was like, fuck! Oh no, God can hear my thoughts. No, and so I. Like momentarily was like, what if God is a gay guy? And then immediately I'm like, fuck God, I'm so sorry. I know you're not gay. I'm so sorry, God.
Because I go to the bathroom and make yourself throw up.
Yeah, I thought he could like hear my thoughts.
I've had that too, Brandon. When I was growing up, like at any time, like I had like a thought like that, or like something just like generally inappropriate, just being like. Doing a low prayer in my head, I'm just being like, I'm sorry, God, I don't know if you should do that. Like, you know, just like, there's one time I had a thought in my head, I'm like, if there was a demon in my room, would I make a deal with it? And then I like was in my bed when that happened, and I tried to pray to sleep and just like to try to like protect myself and be like, I'm sorry, God, I submit myself to you. Just like,
oh my God, I just remember in second grade, this kid on the bus, Soheel, taught me what the middle finger was.
Oh, yeah.
But he told me you should always point it downward so that it hits the devil and not God. And I would do that for like a year after.
Like I will say laser. Also, like, when it so a thing with, like, if you don't hear me, like, curse a lot, I think, like, learning inappropriate words, the only person I had to bounce that off of is my mom.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, anytime I learned it, I got yelled at. Like, there are, like, words that, like, I just didn't know. So, like, in sixth grade, I learned, I heard what the word douchebag was.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
And I heard it, I heard the word, like, within, like, a story where something funny happened that had nothing to do with the word, but the kid said douchebag. And I retold it to my mom, and my mom stopped the car and she goes, like, do you know what a douchebag really is? And it's just like I then learned what it, the purpose of a douchebag was.
How did she describe it?
That it's something women stick up their vaginas to clean up.
I got a similar explanation because it took me a long time to catch on to that one. And I think I looked it up on AOL, and it, like, I still didn't get it. Dude, I didn't know any of the mechanisms that it was related to either. I was like, what? Clean? Like, huh? I don't know. Like, it just took me a while. Yeah, finally, a parent explained it, and I still didn't get it. I was like, all right.
Well, a parent?
Yeah, one of them probably did.
A Boy Scout dad.
One of mine.
One
of
yours?
One of mine.
It's a merit badge requirement.
Yeah, the douchebag merit badge.
But that is like a horrifying thing when, like, a parent, like, really tries to break it down and make it like an educational moment you, and you're just like, oh my God, like, I just wanted to laugh about this word.
No, I know. Parents are so fucking bad at that.
What's
up? Like, I just said parents are, like, so bad at that. Like, I just remember, like, here, like, I think I repeated something somebody said at school about sex, and then my like when we had, like, the talk, my dad was giving me the sex talk, and I just remember him using the phrase milky fluid.
Oh God.
And it's like, that's not, I don't need to know that. I don't need to know. You shouldn't use that phrase.
Yeah, I'm resisting going down the tangent that I'm thinking about going down, but
I'll piggyback off of Brandon's thing. I learned about reproduction fairly early in life because my parents breed dogs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So like, I learned about life, like, you know, the birds and the bees ever since I was pretty much younger. But I thought humans for the longest time had mating seasons, much like animals.
That'd be pimp.
So for a long time I thought I knew what I was saying by, like, oh yeah, it must be a mating season.
Must be mating season.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's going into
you were
heat.
17 years old saying that. that would be damn hilarious if I would be in favor of that. You weren't horny for most of the year, but then, like, summer comes around.
That would be ideal.
If we could just save it for summer.
You get to wear a uniform. You have mating season. I think this would be the perfect world for humans.
We're just
to live
describing
in
a dystopia. Really,
I agree, Brandon.
I think we're figuring out a campaign platform.
That's true.
Everybody wear a uniform. You only fuck in the summer.
You take a pill.
But this is what I wanted to come onto the pod to talk about is, with November coming up, the Supreme Court is at risk, and we need to. In these institutions, and if we can
I'm not going to go into my reproductive cringe memories, but
that why not?
Just because they're so specific. Well, I don't remember.
You can always take it out.
Yeah, I guess.
Workshop.
You already have to cut out that one part.
I mean, I remember it being.
I'm not sure whether I want to take out my response to you. To your trauma, Jack. I'm very sorry.
Oh,
if I came off as dismissive of that.
I did not get molested in the Boy
don't,
Scouts.
Okay, don't cut that.
Okay, cool.
But yeah,
as
Mark,
far as I
know,
I thought it was weird. I don't know.
We'll cut this.
Thanks,
this
Brandon.
Part specifically.
No, I think this is good. I, you know, we're getting, you know, the audience gets to hear us being nice to each other, checking in, just four men, you know, checking in on each other's
emotions.
You guys
have enough water?
Well, we're just men who are just trying to navigate the torrential channels of masculinity. It's something we all have to do.
You know, we need to be leaders. I was a Boy Scout. They taught me I needed to be a leader and live by example and teach the youth, you know. That's the thing. Teach the youth how to swear and fight. By the way, we got in fights. I'm sure I've told it on pod, and I'll keep this one very brief, but like the weirdest one was during a winter campout, and like this other troop, there was a bunch of troops on this giant winter campout, and me and my friend were building a snowman out in the snow alone, but our whole troop was in a cabin, like 100 dudes, like 13-year-old boys. And like we got like attacked by some other troop, like overwhelmed with like snowballs and like ice, like throwing ice at us. And we like,
were they throwing it like through, like were they throwing it at your
cabin?
No,
at me and my friend. It was like all of a sudden it was like 40 on two. And I was like, and we like booked it, but like my friend, like I don't know where he ran, but I basically like I went to get our troop as backup because we were like getting attacked by these older mystery kids. And like that escalated to like an hour later, we're in like a 100 person like bloody fist fight in the snow, like out in the woods, like troop versus troop.
Oh, holy
like
shit.
an absolute like gauntlet. And it was very like, that was probably the first like real fight where I was like, people were hitting me and stuff. I mean, I didn't get
interesting,
and it was like, just so weird. And then we went back afterwards. We won. Like, our troop won. It was, like, literally so many people. It was insane. And we were in the woods. And then we went back and, like, had to eat our weird Boy Scout dinner. And, like, the parents never knew.
Some kid only ate, like, Cheez-Its the whole trip.
Yeah.
What's the weird Boy Scout food?
Like, where they give you potatoes MREs and, like, beef and stuff and tinfoil. And you, like, throw it on top of a fire. And, like...
Yeah, you got to make
it. Does not seem safe.
Oh, I definitely wolfed down a couple MREs back in the day on an Air Force base, because my dad brought it home once and was like, "Hey, son, you want to see what troops eat?"
Oh boy!
I hate this every day at work.
Damn, this is awesome.
I will say we never had like inter-troop.
You think it's awesome? Like,
yeah, I thought it was really cool because it's like, because when you're a kid, you like eat, like you go on a field trip and then you're like, oh, let's get astronaut ice cream and shit like that. And so like, it was the same thing where you're like cosplaying as a grown man and just eating shitty food that tastes bad.
Troops got it made.
Like,
that's what they're saying when they need to increase the military budget is more MREs.
Yeah, we need better ones.
More MREs.
Whole Foods quality MREs.
I will say we didn't have many inter troop battles. I will say most of the fights happened among like very close friends, like the aforementioned story. My friend who I'm very close with, in fact, I'm going to be best man at his wedding. He shot me with a homemade bow and arrow once.
That sounds very Boy Scout.
Still has, like, I still have the scar on my knee.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah. Yeah. No, it can be very, Lord of the Flies-y.
Yeah.
Out there.
Ours, I remember the fist fight was escalated because I didn't go. I was the one who went and got the troops and, or the troop. And,
You were the bugle
boy. I thought
we
were going to retaliate with, like, exactly. I thought we were going to retaliate with snowballs. And, like, immediately the older kids were like, they're bored, I think. And they're like,
I have a gun.
Let's fucking go. Let's fucking go. And it just went.
Let's make an example.
Yeah. I just remember the weight of it was really heavy because I sparked it, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was very, I mean, it was fun at the time. I'm like, yeah, we fucking kicked their ass.
It is really amazing how amped up as a young boy you can get and like just wrapped up in like that type of like the fantasy.
Oh, it was just so weird. It was really because I was really scared. They like popped out of nowhere and like attacked us. We were out in like in the middle of a field. Boy Scouts is weird, but like I didn't tell that story to be like, yeah, when I was a kid, me and my friends won a fight. But
No.
But
it was
the memory sticks out to me as like the parents like.
I got shot like
a
pig.
They didn't like know that happened. And then we just like went back and it was just like that happened right in front of them, but they didn't know. And it was just like this weird day that was never addressed. And like, I don't think the troop talked. We couldn't talk about it either. Like, because we were around the leaders then. We were like, all right, back to normal after this.
I think as long as no one's like seriously hurt, they'll just be like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, you just have your, you come to blows and then you just, yeah.
And then,
back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was always taught no blood, no foul. That was always the.
Throwing that from a Nike shirt?
Yeah, it is like an and one shirt.
You throwing that from a Nike t-shirt?
Yeah, I learned all of my, my moral code is based off of a series of and one shirts. About,
Who's gray and one man is your biggest role model?
Brandon has like false memories of him. Like, yeah, this my basketball coach.
This guy was like 12 feet tall. He was like fully gray, only wore basketball shorts. He really taught me a lot about what it's like to be a man. Yeah.
The biggest influence in my life is the silhouette of a man saying, keep up with my shadow.
Yeah. You know, my friend used to say, stop pinching yourself. The nightmare is real. I'm the bus driver. I'm taking you to school.
I think Brendan and I have exchanged a couple like and one child photos, like of ourselves, not just not other children wearing and one. check out these cool kids.
These guys are awesome. I wish they made this shit for adults, man. God.
Did you grow up with this guy?
I mean, that's the funniest part about that brand is like, it was like a really aggressive, like urban, quote unquote, like street hoops brand, you know, with like these phrases.
Yeah,
and then
I don't think we should have been wearing and one. Like,
no,
it is not
not FUBU.
I went through my old photos at my parents' house the other week, and I found a photo. I posted this to Instagram of me sitting on the floor watching Nickelodeon, and I'm wearing like this like weird nylon long sleeve and one jersey and an NBA brand headband.
Hell yes!
Just to watch like Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, that's so funny. I mean, it's like Allen Iverson type quotes on the back. Just like even not even like the AAVE thing. I don't know if any of the shirts were like that, but the sheer cockiness, and they would be on like a scrawny 8-year-old boy who probably.
Oh, a lot of white boys in Allen Iverson jerseys, for
just
sure.
Like generic trash talk.
It's just like, extreme basketball confidence coming from this gray figure on the shirt of a child.
There's a great photo of me golfing in sixth grade with like and one shorts that are down to my ankles.
I mean, that sounds nice.
I played on the travel team when I was in fourth grade, and one of the kids, his dad worked for Adidas. So every kid on the team, he gave us like customized sweatsuits.
Oh,
like
wow.
Long sleeve sweatsuit, long sleeve pants, and like the new T-Mac shoes.
Whoa.
So it was this team of just 10-year-olds dressed out and like unreleased
That's
Adidas
so
shit.
Pimp, honestly. I mean,
that is
like
really
I literally
pimp.
Am
when
jealous.
I was 8 years old, I liked wearing bathrobes a lot. So I got my own green custom-made bathrobe.
Was it monogrammed?
Huh? It might have been. No, I don't think it was. And then I would just aim my friends on my mom's email. I'd slick my hair back. I felt like a luxury man. That's all I knew.
Luxury man.
I was like, this is my idea of a luxury man.
Boys.
Talking to cousins I've never met online while wearing a bathrobe.
Before we go on another tangent, I mean, the clock is ticking, getting close to the end of this episode, but do you have any more Branchburg-related stories you wanted to tell? Because I know you said you had some in the hopper. We heard the Boy Scouts, but do you have anything else you want to get out before we go away?
We could talk about some experience that Brennan and I both shared as far as like in high school.
Oh, please.
Like,
and
I know.
Middle school, right?
Middle school and high school. I know for a fact, like, I think our school district will go toe to toe with any other school district as far as having like the most, like, the dumbest bomb threats.
Go on.
Corey, should we tell the one from middle school?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
You know, you know that one best.
So we had, We had a few bad kids, like, well, every, I guess, grade does, but one of the kids are on the bottom of a tissue box. A missile is heading towards Branchburg Middle School as we speak. Praise Allah. And then he wrote the class president's name, who was Indian.
Oh my God.
Like,
oh my
just God. A very racist, like, the thing they took it most as was a bomb threat.
Oh my God.
But they didn't have us evacuate the building. They just all put us in the gymnasium and were just yelling at us, going like, "Who wrote this?" And just like, and the kid who did it immediately fessed up. He was like, "It was me." He was like so proud of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's definitely one of the dumbest.
But a missile is a really funny bomb threat. Like, to receive that. And to think, and it's like in a kid's writing too.
Yeah, it's in a kid's writing.
Oh no, I left it up the box.
Flying, it's a surface to air missile. Or air
I think at the top of the issue of the tissue box was like a fake button where it says press this button, then turn over the box, and then it had. So someone did that and then turned it over. So I guess someone thought because they pressed the button.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
It's so funny to like. Lie about a bomb threat or whatever, like when you don't know anything about missiles or fucking whatever. It's like,
right,
it's like calling, like it's like being like, oh, don't come to school tomorrow, I'm gonna bring a bazooka,
which is like literally probably
happened. Corey and I were just talking about this recently because it would happen a lot in high school, and they would make us walk like a mile away from the school. And just the thought of like what would happen if the bomb threat was real and you were like a child who turned around and all of a sudden there was a mushroom cloud where your school used to be. How would you go through the rest of your life?
I lunch. Also during those bomb threats, like they'd make us walk a block and then 10 minutes later after like just standing there, they'd make us walk another block, like as if the bomb grew.
Okay, like radius has expanded. Yeah, like further away.
Yeah, like the teacher was trying to get a read on how much this bomb could explode. like one to that would like take down a whole fucking building.
Missile. I personally like the missile. What do you know what happened to the guy who wrote that racist bomb threat?
Yeah, I saw him at I think he still lives in Branchburg. I saw him at a township
really?
Meeting. I'm not joking. That is 100%
trying to
serious.
Report a missile, another missile. Like, but it's Antifa.
I'm serious this time.
It's still coming. It's the same one.
It's honestly, I didn't say it was fired from a plane. It's being shipped. They're walking it over.
It was a 12-year countdown, and
yeah, exactly.
So
ours was, I mean, I don't know if you guys have more bomb threat stories that I'm interrupting, but ours was more like a bunch of people would get like, this was post Columbine, like sort of fresh, I think. Everybody's really paranoid and like. Anything you would do that seemed like a threat, you would get like expelled for. I remember kids would like draw, everybody drew like the school on fire, you know, obviously that's like what you did if you had a bad day at school, be like, you know, the school on fire, and like and Michael
Classic
Jordan's gonna
joke.
Come pick me up in a convertible and drive me. And like so many kids drew similar pictures and would get like huge suspensions, and like I think a kid got expelled for drawing that, but we thought
we're lying about Michael
Jordan. Yeah, exactly.
Is he really coming, yes or no? I need to know as the principal's like fixing his hair.
I could name, I'm not gonna do it on pod, but like I could name three kids from memory right now who got suspended for drawing the school on fire in middle school. Just right now, and that's like the ones I could remember and know what they're doing now, and that's like there's probably even more than that, but I remember just people getting fired, like kicked out willy-nilly for that, basically. No bomb threats though, I don't think.
Damn. That the Michael Jordan thing just reminded me, did you have any like fantasy friendships when you were in elementary school? Because I specifically remember being in, when I was in the St. Louis suburbs at Scott Air Force Base in Illinois, because I was like, I had visited the Arch a couple times. I was like, oh yeah, I'm a local. And it was when Nelly was big.
Oh my God.
And I had this like private aspiration where, you know, I'd be like watching TRL in my And One shorts that were down to my fucking ankles, like watching Nelly, watching Country Grammar. And I remember privately thinking like, I'm going to become one of the Saint Lunatics.
Brady, you have no idea how much I was hoping for you to say that you were like becoming imaginary friends with the Arch.
I thought you were going to say that too. Yeah. But Brandon,
would you ever put the Band-Aid on your face to see what it looked like?
Oh, absolutely.
I would do that. Yeah.
Never like out and about, but it was definitely something
privately
I would
in
do
the
like,
bathroom.
Yeah, I would lock the bathroom.
The flesh-colored ones, though, too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would lock the bathroom. My mom would like be banging on the door like, Brandon, are you putting a Band-Aid on your face and pretending to be Nelly? And I'm like, no, I'm just jacking off.
In sixth or seventh grade, we had to read The Outsiders, and immediately after reading like two chapters, I tried rolling up a post-it note and smoking it.
Hell yeah.
You were in a coma for 2 weeks after that.
Just totally laid out.
Oh yeah, one time my family had like a bunch of friends over. And I was watching Good Burger in my room, and Kel like puts two peas in his nose. He puts two grapes in his nose, and I didn't have any. And he's like being silly, and I thought Kel was very funny at the time. Kel was like the epitome of comedy to me at the time.
What's Kel up to now?
We checked in on him.
I don't know. I think he's like a Christian.
No, he's back in comedy. We talked about it on pod. I just can't remember what it was. I'll look this up.
He's like on some other Nickelodeon show.
New cast member.
And yeah, I do know he does like club appearances. He did this one club where it was like Orange Soda Night with Kel Mitchell. And I remember seeing that flyer. But yeah, back in the day, as a child, I'm no longer
that character. I'd like to say.
I sucked two peas up my nose and they got stuck. And I had to like interrupt my parents' dinner party because their friends were like doctors.
Oh my God. I remember sticking a dime up my nose before school one day. My mom being really mad as she had to take the tweezers and remove it from.
They pulled the tweezers out.
Oh yeah.
I was crying with peas in my nose. Come to think of it, I don't think they needed to be doctors.
You should have been able to just shoot him out of your nose if, like, you clenched real hard.
I know. I was, I was naive.
I remember being at a camp, and there was a guy who was playing acoustic guitar for us. And in the middle of it, there was, like, this beef or this fly flying around. And it landed on a kid who, for some reason, had his shirt up. And the fly apparently kept... the fly, like... was apparently crawling into his belly button, and he was like shrieking that like it got stuck. And so all of like the parents like were huddled around this kid shrieking as this guy was trying to play like guitar, like to all these kids, like trying to sing all these Christian songs. And one of the memories I had was just like, as this guy was trying to keep the kids' attention, as like their friend was like shrieking and flailing on the ground, were the parents like trying to drag them into a cab, the kid into a cabin to like basically like operate on him while this guy was just strumming like C chord, G chord, D chord, A chord.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Well, boys, on that note, I mean, we've been going for a while. I think we should probably wrap this one up, but please get a real strong plug off for Branchburg.
Oh yeah. Season 2 starts October 1st. Produced by Adult Swim and Absolutely Productions, and it'll be on for the next 10 Thursdays.
We have special surprise guests each week that we hope that you really enjoy. The episodes
are guests of this pod.
Yes. So.
But not us, interestingly enough.
No.
No. So narrows it down a bit. The episodes are a little bit longer. They're about 16 to 20 minutes. And Brendan, would you agree that it's the best season so far?
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
no, I would agree. I think we tried very hard, and I think we made something we're very proud of. And if you were a fan of the first season, I think you will believe this to be better.
That's what's up.
God bless you all, and may you listen to many podcasts in your life.
This is Branchburg.
Yeah, thank
two.
You guys for coming on.
Thank you so much for having us.
From Absolutely Productions.
This is now the sixth reported stolen chimney in Branchburg this past month.
I'm the astronaut of Branchburg.
I am the proud owner of the Branchburg Butcher Shop.
I decided to enter Branchburg Firehouse through a window.
The legendary Branchburg Goblin.
I am Mayor Barbara the Fridge Braskin.
Hey, what are you guys doing over there? We beating up somebody?
$7,000 in debt because I got my ears pierced at the hospital.
We will send him the town's largest shovel.
I gotta get to the library.
We should be bombing Long Island.
Get off your ass and help us.
I'm not sure what the point of this award would be if we didn't give it to the teacher who taught a bunch of students how to fly a goddamn airplane.
This is Branchburg with Brendan and Corey. Season 2 begins October 1st.